It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table, everyone. It's great to have Connie Stanfill back with us. She's our Bible study teacher, and today we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, wrapping up chapter 6, aren't we, Connie?
Yes.
All right. I'm very excited about this one. I have a feeling another miracle is on the way.
Yep. That's when you're around Jesus, things happen.
Yes.
For sure. All right. We are at the end of chapter 6 of Mark. I'm going to be teaching on verses 45 through the end of the chapter. And yesterday we had that miracle of the Lord feeding 5,000 men and probably actually 20,000 people. And we're going to see what happens right after that. So verse 45 says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. I'm just going to point out that if when you read the account in John of this miracle, you're going to find out a few extra details that help us understand what's going on here. And that's because right after the miracle, the people were so thrilled with this teacher who fed them that they wanted to make him their leader by force, to grab him and to make him like lead a revolt against the Roman authorities. And so John in his gospel tells us in chapter 6, verse 14, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And so it helps us understand why Jesus wanted the disciples to go away. He sent them away. He wanted the crowd to be dismissed. And then he went up into the mountains to pray, because that's what the next verse says in verse 46. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. This is the second time in the Gospel of Mark we see Jesus going alone somewhere to pray. And each time he prays in Mark's Gospel, it's because something big is happening, something that actually probably needs prayer. One was at the beginning of his ministry. This is right after a miracle where people are starting to get the idea, let's make him our leader. And Jesus doesn't want his disciples to follow in that way, and he doesn't want the people to do things that are not going to be part of God's eternal purpose, because Jesus came to be the suffering servant and he's going to the cross. He's not going to be their political leader. And then we're going to find as we go on through the rest of Mark, we'll have some miracles, some other accounts, but mostly it's going to be teaching of Jesus with his disciples. And so he's focused on the journey to Jerusalem and he's focused on teaching his followers to be like him. All right. So we have Jesus up on the mountain praying, and the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in a boat. And then verse 47 says, and when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So Jesus spent really all night away from them. The fourth watch was between 3 and 6 in the morning, so it was almost getting to be daylight. And obviously they're struggling because the wind is against them. It shouldn't have taken them that long to sail to where they are. And it says that they're actually, and in Matthew it says they're in the middle of the sea. So they were blown so far, of course, they weren't even anywhere where they're supposed to be. So then we find out that Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And the Greek word for walking there is a word that means he's walking very easily, steadily, unhindered. This rough, stormy sea is not a problem for him, and he can walk right on it. And then it says, he meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. And when we see the words, he meant to pass by them, it reminds us of times in the Old Testament when the Lord revealed himself to his people. Specifically when he revealed himself to Moses, and then again when he revealed himself to Elijah. And both of those times, there were great natural things going on, earthquake and fire and rushing wind. And then the glory of the Lord passed by them as they were in a cave or in a cleft of the rock, and that still small voice was the Lord and that immense power that was there. But we can see that what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to reveal himself to his disciples as God. And right now, they're seeing things from a human viewpoint. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a boat, very frightened, not having their course go along very well. And then they see something walking on the water. They don't recognize him as yet, and they think it's a water ghost, a phantom, actually, is the Greek word. And so they cry out, and they're afraid. And then in verse 50 it says, "For they all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I.'" The take heart really means be encouraged. And then when he says, "It is I," it's the same words that we have back in Exodus 3:14, where the Lord reveals himself to Moses and to Israel and says, "I am who I am." And so the Lord is saying, "I am," meaning I am God and I'm with you. And then he says, "Do not be afraid," or literally stop fearing. And then in 51, it says he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. And so as soon as Jesus was in the boat, the storm was quiet, water was still, and everything was back to the way it should have been. And then it says, "And they were utterly astonished." And that Greek word is an unusual one in Mark. It truly means out of their minds. They couldn't comprehend what had just happened, but it was something that overwhelmed them. And then 52 explains it, says, because it says, "For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." And when they didn't understand about the loaves, they didn't understand about Jesus being the abundant provider of all things, the God of the universe. And then because he did that and he showed them his divinity, they didn't fully understand that. And when he came walking on the water, they still don't understand who he is as the creator of heaven and earth and the sea, who was able to quiet a storm and walk on water and do amazing, miraculous things. And then it tells us the reason is because their hearts were hardened, meaning they had little faith and they weren't letting the things he was doing and saying totally sink in so they understood. What we're going to find out as we go into Mark chapter 8, that they're going to start, that those hardened hearts are going to soften and their ears are going to start opening up and they're going to start understanding what it is that Jesus does and why he does it, but actually more importantly, who he is. There's some great verses to look up with this study if you'd like to. You can look at the verses in Exodus and in 1 Kings about how Yahweh, the Lord, revealed himself to Moses and to Elijah. And we'll also have those verses about I am. And then some great verses from Isaiah that talk about fear not, for I am with you. And that is truly God's call to each and every one of us now today. There's nothing that will happen in our lives that he is not there with us and he cannot take care of. So that's a good word. So then after this time of Jesus walking on the water and getting in the boat with the disciples, we find that they've landed on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, a bit farther south than they planned to be. And so I will read this kind of summary statement about what Jesus is doing. Verse 53. "When they crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well." The people were attracted to Jesus, and they had great need, and he met their needs. When it says implored him, it means they kept begging him, and so he was a sensation, but he also was a sensation who delivered, because he did heal them. And it says, "As many as touched him were made well." And so we see that Jesus, as the healer, honored the faith that someone would touch him, thinking that that would make him well. He's the one who healed them, but he did honor that faith and help them become whole, because really the Greek word for made well is also the same word for salvation. And so when Jesus came, he came not to heal just human illnesses and injuries and problems, but he also came to make sin-sick souls well and whole.
Amen. Connie, thank you so much. And you know what? We're going to have these notes on our website at naomistable.com. More about this lesson when we come back.